Yo, welcome to Starbucks, powered by Chris Gates Fitness. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rosati. Jim, happy Monday.
Maybe a happy Monday.
It's a glorious
Monday. I mean, you know what? The fact that this week is not last week, that may make it a happy Monday.
That's a very positive way to look at it. At least there's a possibility that the Pirates might win a game this week.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it has not been a good week. Two back-to-back sweeps. That's nice. This team went from, granted, it's early in the season, but this team went from never losing a series to back-to-back sweeps. They're 11-11 now.
Yeah, 11-11. They were 9-2. That's what, 2-9. So they went 9-2, and then they went 2-9. I mean, yeah, that's where we're at. It's just a rough week. 6-3 loss, 3-1 loss, 9-1 loss, 8-1 loss, 4-2 loss, 6-1 loss. I think the most painful part of the week is that no one, like in none of those games were the Pirates even. Like, the Pirates didn't have a chance to win any of those games, it felt like.
5 runs in the last 4 games in total. 8 in the last 5. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just not scoring right now. And it's just so frustrating to watch this team that was doing pretty well at putting runs up on the board the first 2 weeks of the year, all of a sudden just become non-existent. They haven't been shut out yet, so I guess we can say that. But
wow, you are Mr. Positive this morning.
It's been a rough week.
It's been super rough. Super duper rough, man. This is like just complete opposite offensively from what, you know, like you mentioned, they were 9-2, now they're 2-9. The complete opposite. It's so frustrating. It's just so frustrating because, and I just feel like everybody sees it. And I don't know, you know, who to blame. Obviously, the players are to blame, right? They're the ones doing it. But it's just the fact that it's the entire team, top to bottom, for these last 11 games, right? Offensively, that just look dumbfounded. I mean, they're just up there standing at the plate, not doing much at all. So I'll say this. The bats seem to be a little bit more aggressive the past 2 games. So maybe there's a shift coming. Like, that's if we're going to talk something positive, that's something positive that I'm noticing the past 2 games. They're not doing anything with them, but they're looking a little more aggressive. But yeah, man, it's just been, it's been tough.
Yeah, man, it's just a frustrating week. Ready to turn the page. We finally get our first divisional opponent this week. Hopefully things change. But Milwaukee's playing some really good baseball right now. Pirates are playing some really bad baseball right now. But hey, you never know with this sport. Things can change on just the blink of an eye. The Pirates need a win is what they need. They need to just get a win.
Very much so. And like the recipe, like the pitching's been good. That's why I say not everything's like Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, again, like the starting pitching has carried through this entire time. They basically, you know, again, like even the games are not sharp, they're doing enough to keep the team in the game to at least have a chance to win. You know, like you've never looked at a game and said, okay, this is over. Well, you have because you know what the offense is doing. But like in theory, you're never looking at the game saying it's over because it is like a 3 or 4 runs, you know? I mean, and especially talking about the team from the beginning of the year, right? That was a team that came back at, you know, down 5-1 to the Marlins, came back and tied it up, going extra innings and win it. You know, like that's what this team was. They were battling. They were never out of any game because this offense could get them back into it. And again, now it's more of like this 2021, 2022, where you're down 2 runs, 3 runs, it's over. There's no coming back from this. That's just how they look right now.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the starting pitching. That was what we were concerned about here, you know, going into the season. And through 22 games, starting pitching is a 3.88 earned run average, which is 10th in baseball. You can't really complain about that. The 10th in baseball, I think third in the National League. Yeah. So the starting pitchers are getting it done. It's just right now there's so many people on the offensive side of the ball just not holding up their part. I mean, Brian Reynolds is hitting like Brian Reynolds, right? He's kind of putting together a Brian Reynolds type season so far. Nothing too crazy, nothing bad, but, you know, steady. Ke'Bryan Hayes has been fine, but that's largely on base percentage driven. He's not driving the ball. He's not hitting extra base hits. He has 0 home runs. But, you know, overall, I don't have too many complaints about him. Connor Joe's had a great April. But again, like, you can't play Connor Joe every single game or because he's just not an everyday player, right? So, all these things are happening, and just every other player on the roster, though, is just not getting it done. Edward Olivares has been fine, too, so I'll mention him. And Joey Bart. Joey Bart's been a pleasant addition over the last half. But it's just too many people having really bad slumps at the exact same time, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
And I mean, like you say, I guess exclude Brian Reynolds because he's one you count on. He's been doing it. But mostly the guys that you really count on. Like, you didn't really go into this year counting on Connor Joe. Certainly weren't counting on Joey Bart or Edward Olivares. But you're counting on guys like O'Neill Cruz to definitely get it done. Jack Swinski, you know, to get it done. Henry Davis to get it done. You know, like a lot of guys that you're really depending on to bring this offense. And again, we talk about power. You know, you've been talking about power post-game show. You know, those are the power guys as well. There's just nothing. Like, they're not getting the ball over the fence. They're just not doing damage. You know, again, like the past two games, when I say, like, if there's one positive sign, it's that they look more aggressive at the plate. It's still just singles after singles and then a walk and a single. You know, no one's doing much damage. It's not as if, like, you have a guy on base, two guys on base, and boom, there's a 3-run shot. It's you have a guy on base, now you have two guys on base, now you have 3 guys on base, and then back-to-back strikeouts, and you have no runs. Like, that's what we're seeing. And that's just the problem, you know? It's bad, man. It's a bad state offensively. And, yeah, like the caught strikeouts is just something that's just – it's bothering me. It's bothering a lot of people. And just to put out some numbers, this doesn't include yesterday, though. I could have updated this morning, but I didn't. But, you know, they lead baseball 61 times caught looking this year, up and through Saturday. They're caught looking 29.3% of the time when they strike out, which league average is 24.7. You know, so this isn't just also like they've gotten to the most full count and, you know, just by, I mean, they actually by percentage are third most as well. It's they don't swing at pitches. 71.6% of the times they swing at strikes, like 71%. Jim, they're basically looking at 29% strikes just go by them. Almost a third. Like, think about that. Like, that's just how do you watch so many strikes? On strikes,
is that the worst? Like, is that the worst?
That's fourth lowest.
Okay. So they're watching more strikes than 26 other teams.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, again, it's like that's their approach. And I know some people are getting frustrated about that. And I'm not here to blame the philosophy yet, because here's like, it's April 22nd. I don't think we have a large enough sample size to say, you know what, this philosophy flat out doesn't work. What I have an issue with right now is the players just not performing. There's too many players in this lineup that just aren't holding up their end of the bargain and aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Like, I'm not going to blame an organizational philosophy for O'Neill Cruz hitting worse than Kevin Newman, right? I'm not going to blame an organizational hitting philosophy for Henry Davis hitting like Austin Hedges. I'm not going to blame an organizational hitting philosophy for Jack Suwinski hitting like Kai Tom, right? Like, these guys need to play better. They're better players than this. At least we think they are. And if they're not, holy smokes, we're in trouble, right?
We're in big trouble, man.
I'm still willing to give the philosophy a little more time, because I think there's credence to it, right? Like, what the Pirates are doing is they're saying, hey, you know what? We're hunting three true outcomes. Like, we're hunting mistakes, we're hunting balls we can drive. And right now, the Pirates hitters are the ones failing, right? They're doing everything according to plan when it comes to, hey, you're going to look at more pitches, right? It's going to mean you're going to strike out more, but it also means you're going to get on base more. You're going to wear a pitcher down more, right? And when you're hunting your pitch, right, and letting all these other pitches go by, the payout is you're going to drive some baseballs. Right. So the problem right now is they're not getting the payout. They're getting the strikeouts. They're getting the walks. But when you don't get the homers, and I think it was Tim Williams who wrote about this last week, actually. So, like, they're going after these three true outcomes, and it's a philosophy that I'm not going to bash, because we've seen it work other places. It's just the Pirates hitters are not executing on this strategy. So they just need to be better. Now, if it turns out that these players just simply can't do this and they need to figure out another philosophy, then that's on the coaching staff, right? That's on the organization. But right now, these players just need to, they just need to play better. That's where I'm at currently.
I just want to add something before we move to our next segment here. I'm with you. I think there's a lot of overreaction just due to the last two series, right? And the fact that 2-11 and you're seeing this, I think it is overreaction. But I do still believe that there's just less in-game adjustments that I'm comfortable with, you know. And again, that's more of an in-game, like the one where the ump was just calling that outside edge all night long. You have to recognize that and start swinging. And the other thing too is, like, when it is two strikes on you, like, just start, like, just that should be part of this approach. Like, yes, do all those things until you have two strikes on you. Then you have to start protecting instead of watching just strikes go right by. But the other thing, though, is it's still just this one-size-fits-all philosophy. Yeah, can Brian Reynolds do this approach? Yes. Can Andrew McCutchen do this approach? Yes. Like, I have faith they can adjust to, like, this big mindset and do such, right? And, like, Andrew McCutchen even, too. Like, he actually has been looking a lot better recently. You know, even like yesterday, like, I know he had no hits, right? But he is driving the ball. I mean, three of them were really, really hard, almost to the fence, all three of them. Right. He's been looking better. I anticipate the numbers are going to start looking better also. But my thing is, like, do you trust O'Neill Cruz? Is this the right way for him? And this is why I bring this up. And I know this is, I don't want to say empty numbers, but this doesn't tell everything. But this is, to me, a little bit alarming. O'Neill Cruz gets down the count almost every time. He leads the team in 0-1 counts. 47 times this year, he's been down 0-1. Jim, he swings only 20% of the time on the first strike. What is league average? 30. What did he do last year when he was actually looking good at the plate? Although small sample, but this is small sample too, right? He was swinging first pitch 32% of the time. He's watching strike one go by him. He's getting down the count. And we know he's not developed well enough. Why does he look so lost? Well, he's getting himself in the hole every freaking time because he's just watching that first pitch go by. And now he's just lost. So, yes, I understand, like, it is a lot of the players, but to me, it just seems too much of this. This is our philosophy. Everybody has to do it, even if it's going to counteract what your strengths are. And it go back to the beginning of this regime taking over. It's all going to be individualized. I don't hate the approach, but there's sometimes you just have to adjust what's best for the player.
So I'll just counter that, and I'll be like, I don't think part of the approach is, like, some of this is on O'Neill Cruz, right? Like,
maybe
he's taking very hittable pitches on that first strike. So, like, he's taking balls that are right there in his sweet spot, right? That's on him. The approach isn't take first strike, take strike one. Like, that's not the philosophy here. The philosophy is if it's not your pitch, let it go until you get it. If O'Neill Cruz isn't swinging at his pitch, then that's his fault. Like, I understand the frustration because we've seen this for six games now, and it's been just incredibly just tiresome, right? But how many games are we at? 22. So the 16 games before this, the offense was scoring and they were doing it pretty consistently. So I think right now we just all kind of have a case of recency bias, and we're just really mad right now because we just spent a week watching terrible baseball, and we haven't even gotten to the point where this team's, like, defensively is just a mess. Yeah. They are a mess, right? I've seen little league teams play better fundamental baseball than these guys. I think that was one of the things we were kind of encouraged about the beginning part of this season was, hey, you know what? These guys look awful, but they're still winning games. So that's kind of actually I'm optimistic about this team because they're going to get better. Well, guess what? They haven't gotten better there. They're getting worse. Just yesterday, there was a catcher's interference. There was a pickoff that they ended up letting the guy steal second. There was at least two pitching, maybe three pitch clock violations, one of which, you know, ended up being a ball four. There were two people caught at second base trying to extend a play to, you know, one extra bag, and both of which were just nowhere near close to being safe. There was missed double plays. There was a drop pop up. Like, this team is a complete and utter disaster when it comes to anything that happens on the base paths or in the field defensively. And when you just add all this together, it just makes us as fans, like, we're watching this happen. We're gonna get mad, right? So I think Andy Haynes is like our scapegoat right now. Like, that's who we're throwing all of our ire towards. And does Andy Haynes deserve some of this? Yeah, absolutely. But the players just need to be better, man. Like, they just need to be better. It's up to them. Coaches look good when the players perform. Coaches look bad when the players don't. And right now the players aren't performing.
I think it's all fair. I'm just biting my tongue a little bit now because
don't bite your tongue.
If it wasn't for the fact that, like, this is the same stuff we've been seeing for the past few, like last year, you know, it's just the one size fits all for everyone else as well. And like what we're talking about O'Neill Cruz right now is exactly what we're talking about Jack Swinski back then. You know, like if he would maybe just swing the bat, start playing to his strengths, maybe he'd be a little bit better. And you saw that in September and he played better. So I don't know. Again, that's just where I'm at. Like, and there's all kinds of facets. And, you know, anyone in the comments could be the same as we were in that one post game. Like, why are you talking about this guy when this guy's worse? I mean, everyone's worse. Just everyone's really, really bad. And there's someone that's probably playing worse than them that you can move on to and talk about instead. But everyone should, like, everyone needs to start catching some strays here, because everyone looks awful and it's all facets of the game. Like you said, it's the base running. That's been from day one. So you are, like, correct too. And, like, who's that on? That on Shelton? Like, this team just doesn't look prepared to play every game. And that's the other thing that does bother me also to a degree, is like when this team was horrible back in like 2020, right? When this team was just terrible, the beginning of the rebuild, that was like one thing that you almost credit them for. At least they come prepared every game. They, you know, like they're not good talented, but they do the things, like the right things almost correctly for the most part. I mean, we'll leave out like the first base stuff. Yeah. But like even defensively, you know, it almost seemed like Charrington had an emphasis, especially up the middle, like defensively. And now everyone just looks awful defensively. And the way this team's constructed, I don't know. There's a lot of problems. And yes, they're exposed right now because they've been bad. And it's short, you know, it's what, April 22nd. Right, so there's not a whole lot of games. If this was July 31st, we probably wouldn't be as up. Well, if it was just 2 weeks, we wouldn't be upset. Last July 31st, we're pretty upset. But you know what I mean? Like if this 2 weeks happened in July 31st, we're probably not as angry as you are right now, reacting the way we are right now. But it's half the season now at this point in time, so that's why we are. And I get that. It's just there's a lot of things that I'm seeing that I've been seeing outside of 2024, and that's why it's bothering me.
Yeah, I mean, I get all the frustrations. I'm frustrated too watching this team. So, yeah, it sucks. We need them to get back on track. Need them to get back on track, because watching these games this last week has just been, it's been rough. It's been rough.
Well, let us get back on track here. Let's move on.
Let's get back on track. How about we do a quick ad from our sponsor, and then we'll move on to the next segment here. So first off, guys, show is sponsored by Chris Gates Fitness. As always, Chris is a huge Pittsburgh sports fan, friend of the show. He works with me. I don't know if you knew I was off last week, DiNardo. I was busy climbing mountains. That's what I was doing. So that's all thanks to Chris. I couldn't have climbed these mountains, you know, a year or two ago. So shout out.
Did you find any offense up there
for that? No, I didn't find any offense, but found some pretty cool views. But now Chris works with people all over Pittsburgh, all over the world, to build muscle, burn fat, and improve their health and fitness. The goal with every person he works with is to make progress while learning how to sustainably manage your diet and exercise routine for life. If you're looking to get in shape this spring or get ready for a summer vacation, or even if you just want to start implementing some healthier habits, make sure you subscribe to his YouTube channel. To search for Chris Gates Fitness on YouTube or visit youtube.com/ChrisGatesFitness and you'll find him. He posts new videos every week. He's got hundreds of videos about diet and exercise that you can watch to level up your routine. And while you're there, sign up for his free calorie counter so you can make progress starting today. He also has some videos coming out. I've watched one where, you know, the best fat loss, fast foods, how to build your home gym, new exercise tutorials, all that good stuff. Again, that's youtube.com/ChrisGatesFitness.
Better whip this team in shape too. That's all I got to say. Yeah. I can name 26 more clients for Chris.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on here. So as always, let's introduce Anthony Murphy to the show from Bucks on Deck as we do our Starbucks on Deck segment here. Talk about all those prospects, the hope, the future for the Pirates, which is still apparently not here. So Anthony, welcome. We're just having a glorious morning.
I mean, that was a fun segment there. I had fun listening to that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Oh,
yeah. I didn't have fun watching everything, getting ready for that. That's for sure.
No, I can't imagine that was fun.
they say our post games are like therapy, you know, right? And I feel like, yeah, like this, we have to have our own personal therapy sometimes here. So this was ours this morning. But yeah, once again, welcome to the show. Another week, some more talk about prospects, some more, you know, analysis we can go on to here. I know we've been talking a lot of the pitching side because, this, you know, as we've talked how deep in our last show was, like, if you thought it was deep, well, it's even deeper than that probably. And, you know, like the arms in this organization are looking pretty good, and there's a lot to talk about, and we'll still do so. But, you know, I want to lead off the show differently because we haven't talked too much about the bats. And you know what? I think there's a lot of people that are interested in at least a couple bats in AAA. Definitely one, because of the lack of bats in the major leagues. They're kind of talking, is it time to maybe see some of these bats in AAA up here now? So, again, I just kind of want to start this way. Let's talk about the bats, and maybe more exclusively on Nick Gonzalez and Leover Peguero. So how are they doing down there, buddy?
So I see on Twitter a lot, you know, they start spitting out the numbers and the stats, you know, on base streak. And none of that is interesting to me with Nick Gonzalez, because that's like he can hit. If you throw him a fastball, he can hit a fastball. So if like he's getting a lot of fastballs down there, then yeah, sure. Of course he's going to be hitting it. You know, that's not the issue. The issue has been hitting breaking balls and changeups. And there's the guy TJ Stats on Twitter. He has a Patreon, does a really good job tracking, you know, like exit velocity numbers, all the fun little stuff. And I was able to, he looks like it updated this morning. I'll say there is improvement with breaking balls. I mean, these are AAA pitchers that he's facing. I guess it's as close as you're going to get to major league. The strikeouts are down, the whiffs are down. He's actually striking out against breaking pitches about at the same rate as fastballs, right around 14%, which is good. It's just the quality of contact is still kind of, I feel like it is a little bit of a concern. Like he only has like a 28% hard hit rate. He's chasing a lot, chasing almost over 40% out of the zone against them. But he's making really good contact inside of the strike. So I mean, at this point with him, it's kind of like, okay, the offense in the majors is struggling, so maybe it's worth it to make a change. I'm still not 100% sold that he starts seeing major league pitching, that it's going to be that much different. Maybe a little bit better, but it's one of those things like a couple years ago where like you make a couple, when you sign Carlos Santana, your first base position upgrades by default because it was literally the worst first base unit. Like Nick Gonzalez had like, he batted like 050 or 0 something against breaking balls last year. So like by default, you would think he would improve somewhat to that.
I was really interested to see what you're going to say about Nick Gonzalez because the Pirates middle infield, however you cut it, right? They're not getting it done. Whether that's shortstop, whether that's second base. I think Triolo's playing a really good defensive second base. Maybe the best defensive second base I've ever seen, to be honest. But he's just not hitting at all. So the hot start by Nick Gonzalez is enticing, I think, for Pirates fans. Definitely discouraged to hear the chase rate numbers, because here's what we've kind of seen happen, right? Once players like that hit the majors, it's a pretty easy thing for major league pitchers to start exploiting. Major league pitchers know that you chase sliders out of the zone, that's all you're going to get, buddy. Like, you're going to get sliders out of the zone and you're going to look silly. So,
Watch two strikes go by.
Yeah. As it's encouraging to see, I mean, Nick Gonzalez, he from a WRC plus standpoint, he has been the Pirates' best hitter in the minor leagues, 165. But it sounds like there's still some underlying things there that don't necessarily make it like a slam dunk here. Like there's still some things.
Yeah, there'd be some stuff to concern about. And that's not even getting into like the off-speed. The off-speed pitches, like it's a small, he's seen a much smaller sample size of off-speed pitches, but it's still been just lost at the plate and against them.
Yeah. And again, that's something
like a near 50% whiff rate against off speed pitches right now. So
50%, near 50%.
Right. It's like 40-45% whiff rate on off speed pitches right now.
Yeah. So that's just,
that's against AAA. That's against AAA hitters.
That's against AAA pitching. Once you get into the majors, that number is going to go quite a bit up. So
he had a 43% whiff rate against breaking pitches in the major leagues last year.
So yeah, it's not gotten, it's gotten worse. Yeah.
And that was
like some of the games I've tuned in, like he's hit a couple of extra base hits against like a couple sliders here and there. But like there's one game he like that four hit game that he had, it was like three extra bases, something like that. Like all of them were like three of them were against like low 90 fastballs that just got left too much into the zone. So like you're a 25-year-old former top 10 pick facing a low 90s fastball. Like, yeah, you're going to, he's doing about what you would probably expect of a 25-year-old former first round pick to do in AAA right now.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, since you just shattered everybody's hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I tried. I segue this to, you know, I tried, guys. Don't blame me. Don't blame Jim.
At this point,
is those Bucks on deck people. They're so negative.
I mean, wouldn't be the first
time. Murphy, is there any hope here in AAA? What about Leover Peguero? I've noticed his number is taking a dip here lately.
Peguero's biggest thing is like, it just seems sometimes that he doesn't have an actual like approach at the plate. Like he doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a strategy. He's going to go up. If DiNardo is upset because no one's swinging at anything, then call up Peguero and that will solve everything. Cause Peguero's the kind of guy, like there are times he's just going to go up there and he'll swing at all three pitches and then he'll either be on base or he'll just walk back to the dugout. but he swung.
How about this?
This is going well.
Okay. So is there anyone at AAA right now who you're like, you know what? He might be able to help this major league club right now.
I mean, you guys talked about defense and maybe the numbers still aren't great and everything like that. But like Matt Gorski's been hitting the ball pretty hard this last couple games and stuff like that. He had a couple hits on Sunday. Talk about defense in the outfield. What is it? They had like the worst outs above average in baseball right now. And like, he's about as good of a defensive center outfielder that the Pirates have in the system. There's still this, I mean, this swing and miss thing right now. I mean, maybe if you step aside from the prospect thing, maybe someone like Jake Lamb can help.
I was actually going to ask about Jake Lamb. Yeah. Like at what point do you give Jake Lamb a shot? Because he's also tearing it up.
They've been prioritizing him at first base. Like, I mean, they've been like they have like Malcolm Nunez there that everyone likes, and they've been forcing Nunez to play a lot of third base because they wanted to keep Lamb at first. So, I mean, maybe he's an option. Like, you would think that like he had a pretty solid spring. He's had a pretty good start to the year. You would think that maybe he'd be able to latch on somewhere else, you know, if that was the case and all that, but they've kind of hung around. You kind of think maybe they had some sort of deal like, you know, hey, just give us like a month or two to kind of see how things shake up and then we'll give you a shot. But I mean, maybe we might have to look at this at like a non-prospect angle as far as who can help and like who are just some of like the veteran guys that they have down there. So maybe like a Billy McKinney who had a good spring as well. I don't think he's playing great in AAA right now.
He's not doing as well as Lamb. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of, again, not a prospect by any means, but
yeah,
the Pirates first base situation right now is pretty dire. Like they're getting nothing out of that spot offensively. So, I mean, Jake Lamb can't be any worse. Can he? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean,
I guess
I mean, at this point, possible. At this point, you get like a 6-game losing streak, and what is it like? They haven't scored more than 2 runs in the last 5. I think you're getting close to, you know, like, okay, maybe it isn't going to fix anything, but maybe the shakeup does something for it. Maybe Nick Gonzalez comes up in here and he looks exactly the same that he always been. But the fact that they're willing to make a move like that will shake up the rest of the roster and be like, okay, well, maybe I need to get going here and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's kind of showing that, hey, you know what? The status quo isn't acceptable. Yeah. Right.
We're not going to sit here and just let things fall apart like we did last year. We're going to try to do something.
That's a good point. All right. Looking away from AAA, what other hitters should we kind of put on our radar that are off to good starts?
Well, one guy who, like, I've always been a pretty good fan of this year, or since they traded for him, Abraham Gutierrez has been off to a pretty good start behind the plate with Altoona. leads the curve in hits. He's at like 16 hits right now. He's batting like .350. The walks aren't there like they usually are with him. He only has like 1 walk in like 50 plate appearances or something like that. But he's usually a guy who walks 10 to 12% of the time. Doesn't strike out a lot. Doesn't swing and miss a lot. He's from like the moment they traded for him, he's been one of their best like contact hitters. Doesn't have overly much power. He's like 4 doubles right now. That's it. But just a really, really solid hitter on like an Altoona team that doesn't really have a lot of solid hitters. They have a lot of guys that's been there for a while, but
they're probably the oldest team in the Eastern League from an offensive standpoint. Like they got some vets on that team.
Yeah. So, but he's really solid. Like defense has always been like his thing that would probably get him to the majors and kind of like, okay, well, if he can pitch in some hits here and there, then all the better. But he's
in the team. He was impressive in spring training too. And I know it was spring training. He was getting in late in games. He was facing, lesser competition, but he was impressive. Yeah. He was impressive.
Yeah.
Another catcher too. And I just want you to hit on him, 'cause I feel like we haven't talked about him a lot. Omar Alfonso. I know you like him. Yeah.
I talk about that guy as much as I can.
he's like, one of the only people in Bradenton kind of doing what you want to see him do. But talk to us about him. 'Cause I mean, 20 years old, he's off to a hell of a start, walking almost 20% of the time, not striking out, which is like he looks like someone who should be on people's radar.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about it most too, is like his exit velocity numbers. There's like he snuck onto Pipeline's top 30 prospect list, but they gave him like a 30 or 35 grade for power, which like Noel and I talked about that. Like we were really confused about how they came up with that. 'Cause like even this year, like he's hitting his average exit velocity is like right at 92 miles an hour right now, hit the 90th percentile. Like Baseball America has like this breakdown of like each different percentile exit velocities that they look for and stuff like that. And everyone that you go through on that, he grades out above average to plus so far. And that's at 20 years old. You look at his frame, he's a pretty big guy, so you get a little bit stronger. But like you said, great approach at the plate, walks a lot, plays a really solid catcher. They're kind of split in time with Garrett Forrester there. So he's getting some time at first base as well. Just a really, really solid hitter he struggled at the beginning of last year, went down to the FCL. He came back and just went on a tear to close the season. And then like, I looked around and just like, no one was really talking about him too much. And like, just the more that I dug into the numbers and stuff like that, it's just, I feel like he's just one of the more solid hitters, especially for his age and everything like that. More walks than strikeouts right now. Just.
Cool. Anything else offensively there? I know Lonnie White Jr. is off to showing a ton of power, striking out still at a pretty enormous clip.
Yeah.
I guess that, the Greensboro offense, it's kind of, you got Brannigan there. You've got Lonnie White. You've got McAdoo. McAdoo's
starting to hit a lot better.
Yeah.
McAdoo was pretty rough to start the year adjusting, but he hit his first home run over the weekend. He's another one of those guys that like Greensboro was going to be a tough place for me to kind of get a good feel on him, just because he's was an advanced college hitter. So it's still probably a level that he should do fairly well at.
But, sort of like Mitch Chubb, right?
Yeah, that's been Nolan and I were talking about that. It's like Mitch Chubb is a guy that he puts the ball in the play, and then he can run really fast, but he can't run really fast right now because he's not putting the ball in play. So, but even then, he's starting to make more contact here and there. It's just, it's not going to be very solid contact kind of thing.
Yeah. So you're slap hitting. Yeah,
he's slap hitter, get on first, steal second, and then score on the next base hit kind of thing.
Slap hitting college bat with a 37.5% strikeout rate currently in high A. Not great. No. Let's shift focus to pitching. Obviously, this is where the organization excels at. We'll save Paul Skeens for the end here again. But how any outstanding pitching performances this past week? I know there were a few.
I know. Bradenton's off to like a really rough start. I think they're like 3-12 right now. So like those games have been like interesting to watch at times. But they do have a couple guys like pitching wise that have done really, really well so far. Carlson Reed, he was their fourth round pick last year out of West Virginia. I know he was like the team's closer his last year, started some. They're trying him out as a starter right now. I love his breaking, like his slider and changeup are just, he may have one of the best sliders in the system right now. I think he got like whiffs on 7 of 8 swings hit on Friday, his last start. I think he struck out 8 in 4 innings. He has 18 strikeouts and 11 innings pitched so far. The fastball, I feel like the velocity would play a lot better if they would just throw him into the bullpen. Like he's sitting like 93, 94 right now. But like the shape, you know, like we look a lot like at the shape and that kind of, those kind of metrics on the site. And it was actually more surprising to see how well like the shape was for the pitch. The fact I wasn't really expecting that. I was expecting it to just be kind of like average and stuff like that. If you can get the velo up a little bit, I think that pitch would be that, would play even better up in the zone if he used it more. It, almost kind of like Thomas Harrington last year. Harrington, when he was in Bradenton, was more like a sinker guy, attacked the bottom of the strike zone. He got to Greensboro and started attacking hitters up high, and then like his strikeout rate just like soared. I kind of feel like that could be the same case with Reed. It's just give maybe a little bit more velocity wise, tick higher and stuff like that. Control will kind of be the issue. I think that'll be the thing that'll probably eventually kick him out of the rotation as a reliever. But also kind of like with Patrick Riley, I think if you throw like Reed and Riley into the bullpen like right now, they can probably get the AAA by the end of this year, if not like push for like a major league spot out of the bullpen. They have that kind of stuff right now.
Yeah. Okay. Bubba Chandler off to a pretty good start. Let's actually stick with AAA, right? Guys who can help this team kind of in the near future. Kyle Nicklaus. He's, 9-10 2/3 innings, given up 1 run so far, 13 strikeouts. 9 walks, though, for Kyle Nicklaus. Is Kyle Nicklaus really just the same Kyle Nicklaus right now, or has something changed?
Kind of the same. Like, I feel like he's hitting upper 90s a lot more consistently now, which I guess the 9 walks and the 11 innings could probably speak to that. But yeah, he's just going to be the kind of guy, like when he's on, he's unhittable. But when like, you got to hope like there's not too many stretches to where he can't find the strike zone kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't like pitchers.
I love his stuff.
Yeah, the stuff is excellent. Yeah. Just, yeah, need more. Like, I mean, he's walking almost a batter per inning right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Michael Kennedy had a pretty good start down in Bradenton, too.
Okay.
5 innings, no walks, 8 strikeouts. you know, he's a upper 80s low, like a more of this soft tossing thing, which like sometimes like when you think about it as like a prospect, you kind of like want to overlook that. But then when you also look about like the success the Pirates have had with those kind of pitchers, you know, generally they bring him in free agent wise and stuff like that. But, you know, they're kind of drafting and developing their own down there. He was able to get, even with that fastball, it had has a lot of life, a lot of carry, especially up in the zone. He got 10 whiffs with it on Saturday. So I guess that's not something you generally see with someone averaging 89, 90. So I guess control, command, how well that fastball plays up in the upper levels, I guess is going to kind of be key with him.
Yeah, he's striking out a lot of batters this season so far. Go ahead, DiNardo.
Is he trying to turn into Nestor Cortez? What's going on with that?
I feel like it's just probably something that when you don't throw it very hard, you have to try stuff to keep batters off balance. And I guess they're giving the Nestor Cortez thing a shot just to try to
keep, this is gonna be a off thing? Balance.
It could be a thing. I don't know. He's done it the last couple starts with okay. it. If it is, I mean, he had a 50% whiff rate with his fastball his last start, and that's elite numbers for, especially when you consider he throws 89-90. So if it works, it works.
I'll take it however it comes. But yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the clip, there was a pitch from his start this past week where it took him like, thank God the pitch clock starts, you know, when you're wind up.
Yeah, when you start doing it,
he took about 15 seconds probably to get through that windup.
And Cortez, he did like the fake throw too thing, right? Like
I didn't see Kennedy do the fake throw.
No, I didn't see Kennedy do that.
Yeah.
But Cortez,
that's good. I wasn't a fan
of Kennedy hasn't done that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be a fan of it unless, you know, the Pirates are doing it and working. Then I'm a fan of it though. But
yeah. Obviously.
All right, DiNardo, is there anyone else you want to talk about before we get to
let's do it. Let's get to him.
Before we get to the guy who now in 12 and two-thirds innings, he has 27 strikeouts. He's given up 5 hits, 4 walks. He has a 0.00 ERA. He threw 65 pitches this past week. Paul Skeens, he's just continuing to just lay waste to the International League. He's striking out 19.18 batters per nine. How much longer we got, Murphy?
I can't imagine it's long, but like, I mean, Paul Skeens is pretty good at the baseball thing.
He's pretty good at the baseball thing.
This is why we brought you on.
I guess one thing, let me ask you this.
Because
You know, now that he's in the International League, we've got StatCast data on him, right? Mm-hmm. One of the knocks going into this whole thing was, you know, his fastball shape. And then it was like, well, you know what? He throws 101. His fastball shape doesn't really matter. Right. Mm-hmm. Is there any cause for concern as far as the stuff that you've seen from Paul Skeens up to this point this year? Is there anything that that's like pointed out to you where you're like, you know what, that could probably be better?
So his last start, he was clearly a little more hittable. And like maybe the command wasn't on point and stuff and like that. Though when people talk about like his fastball shape and everything like that, those are the kind of outings that bring up like the concern. Like if the command isn't pinpoint, and we saw a major league hitter take a beat on a 100-plus-mile-an-hour fastball in spring training. So like if the command isn't there, then that's where the trouble could start with it. And like, you know, he walked like a couple batters the last game, the last outing. Like he felt he was falling behind quite a bit in the last. This was probably like the least sharp I've seen Paul Skeens. And even, but you know, even then, that was still like, if that's going to be the worst he's going to look, then like, okay, you know.
Two walks, 8 strikeouts, and three and a third.
I think we can live with the 2 walks there. But like, so like a lot of the shape stuff and all that came out a lot better than I think I was expecting whenever, you know, I started hearing that stuff. Like when you talk about like the induced vertical break and stuff like that, it's still not great. The fastball still kind of lines up in the dead zone, But the approach angle that it comes out of plays to exactly what we've kind of seen from him. You know, it's hard for, outside of the fact that it's coming at you at 101 miles an hour, it's hard to square that up because of the angle that it's crossing the strike zone with. So, but if he starts missing his spots, he leaves a little bit over. I think his last spot, some of like the advanced stuff spoke to, kind of made it seem like if he was facing like a major league lineup, maybe he would have ran into a little more trouble. Like, I don't think anyone's expecting him to mow through major league hitters like he's mowing through triple A guys. Like, he's going to have, I hate to break it to everyone here, but he's probably going to, they'll probably be a start or two to where he gets roughed up a bit. That's just that's the nature of baseball. Like,
unless you're Jared Jones.
Unless you're Jared Jones. but there may be an outing here. The command isn't well, and he comes across like it's against a really good lineup, and they knock him around a bit, and it may happen. But like, when you're averaging 100 miles an hour and you're hitting your spots, you're throwing at the top of the zone with that approach angle, I don't think he's going to run into that issue too often.
Cool.
Well, that's encouraging. Yeah.
Very encouraging.
Yeah.
All right.
Those 1-0 games will be fun that he's pitching.
Gosh. Right. All right. Thanks, well, you know, Murph. What? It's April 22nd. I got to imagine 2 more starts probably for Skeens.
Well, he should pitch on Wednesday this week. He should pitch Wednesday this week, which means next week will be the first Tuesday, Sunday.
And yeah, it is.
And then the following week, I think we're into May then, or we're into May the following week. I don't know how weeks work. It's the 22nd.
Yeah. Next week.
So this one should be the 24th. So then next Sunday is the 5th. Or.
Yeah, so I could see, like, if they want him to do the 5-day rest thing one time in AAA, then you're probably looking at the 5th maybe being his final AAA start, and then you bring him up for that, maybe that Saturday game on the 12th. That would be...
You probably give him an extra day's rest going into it, just to...
Yeah. Well, yeah,
we'll get a good idea with it, too, because, like, if they've been so cautious with his workload so far, like, most of the guys who have done the Tuesday, Sunday so far in the system... Like, they haven't gone past 3, maybe 4 innings max. And I think if you made it 4 innings on the Sunday, that just means you're rolling, you're dealing. I think Urquhart went 4, but he's a lot younger, less experienced kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how they, and you probably get a better idea by the end of that Sunday. Because, like, if they're pulling him after 2 innings or something like that, I mean.
That means he's coming.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah. I you know what? The more I look at it, I bet they probably, that Sunday, May 5th game that he's lined up for will be in AAA. And then his next start will be in the majors. So put a circle around May 11th, guys. May 11th is my official choice for Paul Skeens' debut. Saturday, May 11th against the Cubs at home. I'm putting it down right now.
Write it down.
All right. Well, Murphy, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
Always find me. Bucks on Deck, Substack. Great. We have multiple articles a day, kind of recapping the day, diving deeper into the system and everything like that.
Yeah, I would recommend, guys. There's a free subscription to Bucks on Deck. It's great. There's a paid subscription to Bucks on Deck. It's great. You guys do great work there. If you're interested in really just diving deep on the organization as a whole, just an excellent resource for you guys there. So Bucks on Deck, Substack, and then you can also find them on Twitter _ Murphy 88. Yep. Cool.
There it is.
All right. Well, Murphy, appreciate you hopping on.
No problem, man. No problem.
All right.
You guys have
we'll talk to you soon. All right. See you again.
All right.
All right, Jim. Well, that was inspiring.
Yeah, all those people banging the doors for I think Nick Gonzalez. I think that was probably the most enlightening part there was, yeah, Nick Gonzalez's numbers look good, but there's still some big issues there where you put him in front of major league pitching and likely not going so well.
Right. Yep. So with that said, maybe not the reinforcements a lot of people were hoping that might be on the way to help out this club, but it's okay. It's fine, Jim. The Pirates only face like the third best offense of baseball coming up, one of the hottest teams in baseball. It's the Brewers series coming up. Oh boy. Let's preview this. Let's talk about this a little bit. This team, so much for this retooling. So much for, well, the Brewers might not be the top team anymore. They're coming out hot. And let's just say this. Christian Yelich, if you weren't sure if he's back, oh, he's back. He's back. He's MVP type back.
Yeah, Yelich is back, but good news for the Pirates. I mean, he's on the IL. I don't know. Is he coming? Is he coming back here soon? But he hasn't played since April 12th. So the 10-day IL, he's like due to come off today. So I don't know if he's ready or not. But Yelich has, yes, he started off really, really nicely. But he has been injured. But he could be back. Like he's eligible to come off the IL this series. So you kind of hope that you avoid Christian Yelich because, yeah, he's been pretty good. But yeah, I mean, the whole team and there's a lot of players performing really well. Like William Contreras having a great start to the year. Willy Adames, really good start. Bryce Turing, good start. The rookie.
List.
I mean, Jackson Churio's been fine. I mean, he's 20 years old. But I mean, he's been playing better than any other Pirates young player.
That's true.
So he's been doing well. Pitching-wise, Peralta has just been outstanding. Pirates face him on Wednesday. They get Peralta, but the rest, I think if there's a thing to like, if you're looking for like a weak point here, it's still that rotation. Like Colin Ray, I mean, you're looking at the Pirates, the starting pitchers here, right? Joe Ross, which is not an inspiring guy. He's going to be starting today. Wade Miley starting on Tuesday. Again, very uninspiring. Peralta on Wednesday, but then DL Hall on Thursday, scheduled to go. So, although he's also on the, is he on the IL too? No, he's not. He just got. Wait, no. DL Hall was just placed on the IL 2 days ago. So,
oh,
so not DL Hall. So probably. Maybe Colin Ray, maybe a call-up, maybe a bullpen game. But it's just like the outside Peralta, this pitching staff is not that great. So if you're looking for a team for the bats to kind of wake up against, you're hoping that this is it. Like Murphy says here, it sounds like if you're going to get things going, like outside Peralta, these guys are very hittable.
Yeah, so I'll definitely say that. And again, like Joe Ross, that was the one where like the Brewers just signed him to like a major league deal. That's interesting for all the opposite reasons. But I mean, he's pitched okay so far. You know, Colin Ray has pitched okay so far. But yeah, like you said, like Freddie Peralta, everything you talk about with Jared Jones, like Freddie Peralta is, he's also a vet, but like Freddie Peralta is striking out everybody. And you're impressed with Jared Jones. That's who Freddie Peralta is right now. So that's going to be a tough game. That's absolutely going to be a tough game. But just like you said, it's the other games around it where this team needs to wake up. Like this team can't let the Brewers rotation look better than what they are because they're just giving them strikeouts and outs and such, right? Like Joe Ross, and again, this game is Jared Jones is pitching today, and it is Joe Ross. Like, that's a game you have to capitalize on. It's baseball. Yeah, I mean, that's just a,
you've got to win your games where your pitcher is like significantly better than the other, right?
And, right.
And that's today. Like, the Pirates need to go out there and win today.
And like, on the opposite end, you know, again, it is baseball. I mean, it can happen, but like, yeah, like Wednesday's going to be a tough game. Like, that's probably one you're not winning. So there's three others outside of it, and you have to look at those. If you want to split this series, you got to win two of those three. Yeah, you got to get to the pitching. You got to. I just want to start seeing a little bit more aggressiveness, which again, like we talked about, like we've seen it happen on Saturday and Sunday. They've been a little more aggressive than normal. Hasn't really carried over. Maybe this is where it does it. So, and certainly worse pitching than that they saw this past weekend also.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely this Milwaukee Brewers team. They're playing good baseball. There's some guys playing pretty well, but they're still not scary, right? They're in first place. They're playing well, but there's nothing that jumps out at you about this team outside Peralta, where you're like, yeah, this team's a problem. You're not saying that about these guys. But we also just got swept by a team that started Pablo Reyes at first base and Tyler Heineman at DH yesterday. So
yeah, and Rob Refsnyder all
Rob
weekend.
Refsnyder just dropping bombs everywhere.
Killed the Pirates this weekend.
So yeah, so that So watch out for, you know, Oliver Dunn this weekend. This week, Oliver Dunn. He's the one to watch out for.
What I'll say too, like, you know, you're talking about like the matchups and such, right? I mean, Jared Jones is pitching. Bailey Falter has actually pitched quite effectively. You know, I'm not writing him off by any means. The one matchup is like the one you fear is Peralta on Wednesday, and that's Quinn Priester as well. So it's one of those things. I'm sorry. I'm going to knock on you, Quinn Priester, and talking this way, but like, at least you're not wasting maybe a Jared Jones just start against Peralta if you lose that one. You know, like their weaknesses, you know, like the pitching that's lining up. And then, of course, Mitch Kello will pitch, you know, game four, I anticipate here. You know, like you have our better pitchers going up. So we could win. Like, the games that you need to capitalize, we're being given a chance here by this, our starting pitching. So again, like, it really comes down to, like, we're talking about the bats need to come alive, because the matchups look better on paper for those outside three games.
Yeah. If this is the perfect opportunity for the bats to wake up. Joe Ross tonight with Jared Jones on the hill. Jared Jones should be fresh. There should be plenty of bullets in that tank. He only threw 59 pitches last time out. Let's get it done tonight.
What do you think the pitch count is for Jared Jones tonight?
You know what? I bet he goes 85. 85 is okay. The pitch count. He got an extra day of rest in there. Like, yeah, he's good to go.
Jared Jones going 85 tonight. We're gonna eat some W's, Jim.
Yep.
This is, I don't want to say it's gonna be a fun series. It could be if the Pirates want to make it one. But it's definitely a big one. And finally, in division, like you talk about, in division series coming up here. The Brewers are definitely at top. And if the Pirates want to get back into this, it's gonna kind of start right now. So yeah, four game series against the Brewers. They play every game this week, no days off. So let's have some interesting baseball. Let's get some sandwiches going, man. It's been a whole week since we've given out any sandwich.
Yep. Seven games this week means seven post games, which means seven chances for sandwiches. Let's go.
Yes. All right. Let's get out of here.
Let's
appreciate everyone for watching. And just like Sax Boy Billy said, give us a like, give us a follow. If you haven't, subscribe. Join. We have the three-tier memberships. Take a look at those. We appreciate everyone who's already joined and been a member. I think we're at 41 now, Jim. Is that what it is? 41, 42?
I think that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, again, appreciate everyone. And we'll be announcing something today as well.
Ooh, we are. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So keep your ears peeled. So with that said, we're out. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.